NBC Monitor News on the Hour, brought to you by your Ford dealer, the place you gotta go to see what's going on. Here is Paul Duke.
Russia has just charged Communist China with attacking a Soviet frontier guard in the Siberian border region linking the two countries. According to the Russian news agency TASS, Chinese troops crossed the border along the Ussuri River and started firing on a Soviet force, killing several persons. No reason for the clash is given and details are skimpy. The TASS dispatch says Russia has lodged a strong protest with the Chinese government. The Russians continue to make threatening noises about West Germany's decision to hold its Electoral College meeting in Berlin on Wednesday. Today, the Soviets said they could not guarantee the safety of flights carrying officials into the city for the election. The Western powers responded quickly, making it clear they will hold the Russians responsible for any interference. All appears ready for the latest Apollo space flight. A report from Jay Bobbrey, NBC News, Cape Kennedy.
Technicians at all levels of the 36-story tall Saturn V rocket are keeping the countdown running smoothly today for the planned liftoff of the Apollo 9 at 11 a.m. Eastern Time tomorrow. In regards to the astronauts' sore throats and colds, Space Agency spokesman Jack King reported,
doctors declared that the prime crew of astronauts James A. McDivitt, David R. Scott, and Russell L. Swigert appear to be flight ready following this morning's medical checkup. Medical Director Dr. Charles A. Berry said the pilot's nasal congestion had cleared in all three crew members. McDivitt and Swigert were ordered to continue gargling with hot salt water today. A final medical check is scheduled for tomorrow morning.
NASA spokesman Jack King. If Apollo 9 lifts off on schedule, its crew will spend 10 days in Earth orbit, primarily testing the first lunar module, the craft built to land astronauts on the moon. Jay Barbary, NBC News, Cape Kennedy.
NBC Radio and Television will provide comprehensive coverage. More news after this from Ford.
Gene Rayburn for Ford. You know, most sales are pretty much alike, especially when what you're selling is cars. So why should I suggest you see your Ford dealer? Well, he's got a sale going now that's kind of different. It's a pop option sale. Pop, that's short for popular. And that's wherein the difference lies. Because Ford dealers are selling their hottest selling cars, specially equipped with their most popular option packages at special low prices. You can get the same Mustang sports roof somebody else would, only yours will have popular options already on board, like racing mirrors, racing stripe, and that performancey hood scoop. You can get the same classy Galaxy 500 with a wheelbase that's longer than its biggest competitors, but maybe you'd like yours with air conditioning. Or a wild roof. You can get vinyl on a Fairlane or a two-tone job in a Falcon. And the money you save isn't on the car at all. It's on the pop options that usually end up making the car cost lots more. So everybody's got a sale, right? But nobody's got one like your Ford dealer, the place you gotta go to see what's going on.
Once again, Paul Duke.
President Nixon is flying home after final conferences with President de Gaulle in Paris and Pope Paul in Rome. Mr. Nixon announced the general will pay a return visit to the United States early in 1970. The president is due back in Washington tonight, and NBC Radio will carry a special program reviewing the trip on most of these stations. The U.S. command says 7,000 communist soldiers have been killed in the enemy's latest offensive in Vietnam. American dead are put at 370, in both instances the highest casualties since last spring. The offensive is now in its second week, with 30 fresh rocket and mortar attacks now reported. But in a battle near the demilitarized zone, U.S. forces overran a communist regimental headquarters after 3 days of heavy fighting. More in a moment.
Gene Rayburn for Ford. If you're the kind of guy who puts up shells on weekends, maybe this isn't for you. But you other guys, did you know you can get into a Mustang sports roof during your Ford dealer's pop option sale? It'll be like any other Mustang, except yours will have a jazzy hood scoop, racing mirrors, wheel covers, white walls, and a racing stripe. And you pay just one special low package price at your Ford dealer's, the place you gotta go to see what's going on. Hey, wouldn't it be fun driving a Mustang?
Israeli Foreign Minister Abba Eban plans to visit the United States in a few days for discussions on the Middle East situation. This as plans move ahead for a Big Four meeting on ways to defuse the explosive area. Secretary of State William Rogers will see Soviet Ambassador Dobrynin this week to help work out details. Former President Eisenhower is showing improvement in his battle against pneumonia, the latest medical bulletin saying the infection has diminished. The daughter-in-law of Postmaster General Winton Blunt has succumbed to injuries received in an automobile collision. 24-year-old Mrs. Winton Blunt III died today in a Montgomery, Alabama hospital. Again, the hour's top story, the Russians say a contingent of Chinese troops has crossed the Soviet border and attacked a Russian force. The extent of the attack is not known. Paul Duke, NBC News, reporting.
Listen again on the hour when Ford brings you NBC Monitor News. Gabrielle Brass on monitor.
Don't move, just leave your dial on the good ears monitor. Lean back and stay a while on the good ears monitor.
Morgan for monitor, letting Glenn Campbell get the first song in. It's Galveston.
Galveston, oh Galveston, I still hear your sea winds blowing. I still see her dark eyes glowing. She was 21 when I left Galveston. Galveston, oh Galveston,
flying in the sun. listen to the lyrics? Makes just as much sense as if you sang Kennesaw Mountain. Next, on the line with Bob Considine, brought to you by Mutual of Omaha, the company that pays.
What do you give your wife on her birthday when she's the only one you've ever had and you've been married for a much longer time than she cares to admit? I'm in that pleasant fix today, and I'll be back groping for an answer. Now, here's something to remember from Mutual of Omaha.
Traveling, traveling, traveling on, going to the places the people have gone. Come along and see the world. Going to the places where the people have gone.
We're always on the move, aren't we? Cross country or cross town, distance makes no difference when it comes to an accident. Mutual of Omaha can't keep you from getting hurt or getting sick, but they can protect you against the ever higher cost. Mutual of Omaha Health Insurance can pay you for hospital and doctor bills, and even provide cash for living expenses. And it does what most health insurance won't do. Goes right on paying even when you're out of the hospital and recovering at home. So why take chances? Call the man from Mutual of Omaha today. You can trust him to provide the benefits you need when you need them. After all, he's from Mutual of Omaha, the company that pays.
Looking around for a birthday gift for my wife, today's the day, I thought of the usual things that wives would like. Oh, a diamond necklace from Tiffany's, the same kind of yacht Aristotle gave to Jackie, a duplicate of the $500,000 armor-plated limousine the White House bought for President Nixon, a Boeing 747 with white wall tires, and a lunar landing module. But I wasn't able to find anything like that in the right colors, so I've been looking through the birthday cards at the dime store. And so far, it's been a useless search. I've been looking in vain for a card that says something to the effect that a wife's got to be pretty wonderful to make a husband feel he's going steady with a real pretty girl, new girl, every time he takes her out. There must be a card around that spells out clearly a guy's halting words that try to say, "Hon, I honestly don't know how you put up with a bum like me. A creep whose job always comes first, no matter what's with you." How can you rhyme that? I search in vain for a card that gets the point over that I simply could not function without her. Who else knows where my shirts are? Who else gives a tinker's damn that I need a haircut, that my suit's getting shiny, that I should read more, get some sun, issue a declaration of independence from the scourge known as the martini, get some exercise? My one and only wife is the kind of dame who can juggle 8 problems in the air at the same time, decorate a house, change her granddaughter, take care of her ailing mother, play cards like a Mississippi riverboat gambler, make out an income tax blank, write travel articles, visit the sick, bury the dead, and somehow convince me that the face that confronts me each morning in my shaving mirror is not a bad painting by Picasso. Millie has a knack of making me feel taller and of suggesting quietly that I'd be still taller if I stopped growing horizontally. She breaks me up with her stories after all these years. She's the only doctor whose name I can recall when I'm beat. I guess lots of other husbands probably feel the same way as I do on the occasion of their wives' birthdays. So let's make a point of sending the dear old lady a rose and take a chance on her having a heart flutter. This is Bob Considine for Monitor. Now, here's something to remember from Mutual of Omaha.
Traveling, traveling, traveling on, going to the places the people have gone. Come along and see the world. Going to the places where the people have gone.
Wherever you go, take along the health insurance that goes everywhere. Get all-round protection from Mutual of Omaha. Get cash when you need it most, when you're sick or hurt. See the man from Mutual of Omaha, the company that pays.
On the line with Bob Considine will be heard again later today, presented by Mutual of Omaha and its life insurance affiliate, United of Omaha. You're on the Monitor Beacon.
You know, you can't make a mountain out of a molehill. Now, maybe that's why Vernon Valley, New Jersey's newest ski area, didn't open long ago. In a place like New Jersey, it takes quite a while to find a real mountain. Once you've found it, it takes more time to develop trails that fit just about every skier's ability, from novice to expert. Well, then you have to make sure that the mountain will always be open for skiing, good skiing, by installing miles of snowmaking equipment to blanket every trail and slope on the mountain. Then to make sure that everyone will get a chance to ski, you install lights on every trail on the mountain. so you can stay open every night until 11 o'clock. Now, after you've built the mountain for skiers, you have to build a base lodge to feed them and warm them. But when you're through, you have a great skiing area on a great mountain, just an hour and 15 minutes from the George Washington Bridge. The place in Vernon Valley, a mile and a half from Vernon, New Jersey. Vernon Valley is New Jersey's newest ski area. If you're a skier, you'll know it's great. This message brought to you by the Metropolitan Ski Clubs.
Radio 660, New York. A monitor tip for drivers. If you've been taking any kind of medication in this colds and flu season, don't drive. Any antihistamines, cold pills, tranquilizers, even reducing pills make you drowsy. Let someone else take the wheel or stay home if you can. Better for you, better for others on the road. Now this from State Farm.
This is Al Capp. For years now, my gravelly but strangely seductive voice has been coming out of your radio extolling the virtues of your State Farm agent. I've told you that he's a nice guy, a friendly guy, that his service is fast, and that his company, State Farm Mutual, is so reliable that it's been the world's biggest automobile insurer for 27 years, and you've been saying nuts to you, Capp. Well, I'm going to let you try out a State Farm agent on a free trial basis. Go to your State Farm agent's office. See if he isn't friendly. See if he isn't fast. See if he isn't a nice guy. Do it. And I'm sure that the next time you hear my voice, you'll turn to your radio and say, "May the heavens smile on you, little Al Capp."
For your car, your home, your life, and your health. State Farm is all you need to know about insurance.
I want to laugh, and I want to dance. I want to love, I want to live. Give me the chance. I want to care.
Rosalind Kind with Give Me You.
I was driving through sometime around 3 o'clock at night. I had fallen asleep, and all of a sudden waking up and seeing myself in the left lane and seeing a semi-tractor trailer coming straight at me. I don't know what woke me up. Maybe it was the...
When you're tired, don't drive. When you're rested, but the monotony of driving makes you drowsy, pull over, take a break, and take two for the road. Two no-dose action aids. They've got the strongest stimulant you can buy without a prescription, yet they're not habit-forming. No-dose action aids. No car should be without them.
The Letter Men and I Have Dreamed. the general manager of the Boston Celtics, next up on Monitor Sports, brought to you by Chrysler Corporation's Customer Car Care Program.
This is Bob Hope, complete with hard top, fast back, and bucket seat, which is pretty appropriate since I'm going to talk about an exclusive from Chrysler Corporation. It's called Customer Care, and it comes as standard equipment on every Chrysler-built car. Customer Care covers more problems than a security blanket, and it starts from the time they fasten the first bolt on your brand-new car. When they say they don't build them like they used to, it's a cinch they're not talking about Chrysler Corporation, because their quality control begins from the time your car is nothing more than a gleam in an engineer's eye. And everyone works with just one idea in mind, to see to it that the beauty of Chrysler-built cars is a lot more than only skin deep. And it sure pays off for both you and Chrysler. Because no matter how much the new models change from year to year, one thing at Chrysler stays the same, and that's the quality of the product. Why not sample it yourself? Try a little Customer Care at your Chrysler Plymouth or Dodge dealer soon.
The National Basketball Association's Eastern Division has an unusual problem. It's too well balanced. At least that's what Boston Celtic general manager Red Auerbach thinks. Joe Pellegrino reports.
Well, Red Auerbach, I guess a lot of people are saying that maybe age is beginning to catch up with the Boston Celtics, and yet it seems to me that it's not necessarily that the Celtics are going downhill, but maybe the league is improving. Would you see it in that light?
Well, I think you just about hit it on the head. I think when you get these last draft choices and close to it, these other teams, you know, have a chance to catch up. So in our case, year after year, you don't get that choice. You try to patch and patch and patch, but eventually it kind of catches up. But even so, I think we had a real good shot at it if we didn't have so many injuries all during the year. And believe me, this is not an alibi. It's just a statement of fact. For example, any one of the four teams, and I have to include Cincinnati and Detroit right at this point, any one of the six teams could have had a hot streak and won it this year. Baltimore did, and because they're going to win it. But all those six teams have great personnel, and give or take one or two players in the right direction, and it will tip the scale. So I don't anticipate any real dynasty, so to speak. For example, Baltimore right now is tough, but you take next year, you might take Detroit and add a top ball player to them, or you might take Milwaukee and put Alcindor, and it might change the whole picture. So you can't really figure on that, especially the way our draft is set up.
Red, speaking of Alcindor, Milwaukee supposedly has the edge on him, or there was some sort of a coin flip that they would get first crack at him.
No, that's definitely not so. The coin has not been flipped as yet. It's between Phoenix and Milwaukee. And this I can tell you in all honesty and sincerity, this has not been done as yet.
Good. Well, that squelches that report then. Thank you very much, Red Auerbach. Sure appreciate it.
Thank you, Joe.
This is Joe Pellegrino in Washington for Monitor Sports.
With California Soul. In Central Florida, you warm people hear us on WKIS Orlando, Radio Kiss, in the heart of the citrus country. Makes you sort of pucker up, doesn't it? Morgan back with the monitor after a brief time off.
Josh White Jr. is one of the now people. This is Roscoe, inviting you to meet him next week on NBC Radio.
This is a NASA space note from the National Aeronautics and Space Administration. 1969 is the year scheduled for achieving a major goal in the country's manned Apollo space program. Astronauts Neil Armstrong, Michael Collins, and Edwin Aldrin are to travel to the moon with two of the crew members actually setting foot on the surface. If all goes well, once in lunar orbit, astronaut Collins will remain aboard the main Apollo command module while Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin descend to the surface inside a special landing craft called the Lunar Module. After exploring the lunar terrain for a few hours, Armstrong and Aldrin will then launch the upper portion of the landing vehicle for a subsequent rendezvous with their companion in moon orbit. Then all three can return home to Earth, having accomplished an historic milestone in man's first-hand quest for knowledge about the universe which surrounds him. This has been a NASA Space Note.
WNBC, Radio 660, New York.
This is Jim Iyer. WNBC News. Is 3:30, 36 degrees in New York and cloudy. The Soviet Union says an armed Chinese unit crossed the Soviet frontier today and fired at Soviet border guards. It added there were killed and wounded, but did not indicate how many. The official Soviet news agency said violators of the frontier were chased away from Soviet territory by Soviet border guards. The incident reportedly occurred along the Soviet frontier with China, just north of Vladivostok in the Soviet Far East. Locally, an ex-convict with a record of assaults against Transit Authority patrolmen was shot dead by one today. Police said the assailant grappled with a Transit patrolman, trying to arrest him for disorderly conduct. The incident occurred at the 86th Street IRT subway station. According to police, patrolman Michael Sullivan was wounded in the leg when the man caused Sullivan's service revolver to go off in the holster while attempting to get the gun away from him. Sullivan then drew the revolver and popped three shots into the ex-convict. Police identified the dead man as 50-year-old Crosby Littlejohn, who had a record of 35 arrests since 1949, three of them on charges of assaulting transit patrolmen. Assembly Speaker Perry Duryea indicated today that Mayor Lindsay can expect very little help from the legislature, this in his appeal for more state aid to ease New York City's financial crisis. Duryea said the legislature might be able to come up with some additional funds from Governor Rockefeller's proposed budget, but the figure would be far below Lindsay's estimated gap. A report now on the mayor's problem from WNBC's Mike Moss.
Mayor Lindsay says the city will have to drastically and dangerously cut back the services it provides unless the state comes up with more money. Mayor Lindsay says the city faces a $500 million plus deficit in the coming fiscal year. He says the situation is compounded by Governor Rockefeller's proposal to reduce state spending by 5%. Mayor Lindsay says he doubts the gap between income and outgo can be bridged by increasing taxes. He says the city has been taxed to its effective limit. The mayor says the cutback in services, if it becomes necessary, will be felt in every neighborhood in the city. Mike Moss, WNBC News.
The chancellor of the City University of New York, Dr. Albert Bowker, says things like closing institutions may be in the offing. Next fall's freshman admissions might be zero. He says these are possibilities if the city and state do not restore some of his slashed budget. The fire has destroyed a row of stores on the Wallace Street in New Jersey's Monmouth County community of Red Bank. No deaths or injuries reported. Fire officials say they have not yet determined where or how the fire started. The Board of Regents' suggestions for decentralization of New York City's school system will be submitted to the legislature tomorrow. The plan would transfer most of the responsibilities now held by New York City's Central Board of Education to be between 20 and 30 elected local boards. Elsewhere in the news, the Speaker of West Germany's parliament has flown from Bonn to West Berlin without incident. This only hours after Russia warned it could not guarantee the safety of flights with West German politicians aboard. President Nixon is on his way home from Rome after ending an 8-day tour in which he opened personal ties with British and West German leaders and promoted friendlier relations with France. President Nixon was briefed extensively on Vietnam today in Paris, and there are hints his visit may result in new U.S. initiatives at the Paris talks. The first of South Vietnam's local elections were held today, this in spite of heavy communist activity at various parts of that country. And space doctors have pronounced the three Apollo 9 astronauts fit to take off into space tomorrow. WNBC News will cover launch on radio and TV. The forecast: cloudy and windy this afternoon with occasional snow ending tonight with a possible accumulation of 2 inches. Highest this afternoon in the 30s, low tonight in the low 30s. Monday will be partly cloudy with a high again in the 30s. It's now 36 degrees in New York and cloudy. The top story once again: the Soviet Union says an armed Chinese unit crossed the Soviet frontier today and fired at Soviet border guards. It added there were killed and wounded, but did not indicate how many. This is Jim Iyer, WNBC News. Now back to NBC's Monitor.
On the first weekend in March, for those of you who haven't been paying attention to your calendar, tear off that February page. Makes you feel as though you've done something this weekend, even if you haven't. Whistling Jack Smith whistles a new one. Only when I larf. Government is supporting college students. Are college students supporting the government? Bill Ryan reports for Monitor's College Poll.
Parental checkbooks to the contrary. A good portion of the cost of maintaining college and university establishments is met with federal and state aid. There are direct grants for research, assistance in putting up new buildings, and student loans by guarantee and direct graduate student aid. Some student leaders have claimed this aid is another way by which the federal government is stifling education. Mark Rudd, who led student protests at Columbia, put it this way: it's the takeover of education by the government. This is said although some of the protesters are getting that same federal aid. College Poll recently sought to determine if Rudd's statements and those of others who follow or agree with him are typical of overall student opinion. The question was put this way: much of the cost of college and university operation is met with federal grants to education. Do you think this is good or bad for education? Well, more than 92% thought it good for education. Just under 7% said it was not. Less than 1% had no opinion. Many of the students seem to realize that only with federal aid can some colleges and universities survive. A Harvard senior said, "Costs are going up, and federal aid is the only answer, and I don't believe you could ever have a takeover of the academic community in this country." Another opinion from a sophomore at Ohio Wesleyan. It was dangerous, but colleges and universities had to raise the money someplace, and better money for college than Vietnam. 75% of the students surveyed approved the use of colleges and universities for defense research. More than 90% said federal aid is good for education. Mark Rudd and his followers appear to be following a lonely course, as college poll reads student attitudes. Bill Ryan, NBC News, for Monitor.
Here's a favorite with college audiences, Judy Collins and Someday Soon. Before the hour, you're on the Monitor Beacon.
This is Joe O'Brien. All I said was fun, 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 and you. That's what I want. And boy, did I get told where to go. This is the place, WNBC Radio 660, where you get what you want. Joe O'Brien, weekdays 5 to 9 a.m. Holiday driving always seems to put the excuses on the road.
Well, when I'm driving, I'm behind the wheel, so I don't think I need them.
Almost anyone can find an excuse for not wearing safety belts. What's your excuse?
WNBC, Radio 660, New York. Monitor with a report on Apollo 9, now scheduled for launch tomorrow at 11 o'clock Eastern Time. Here's Jay Barbree, NBC News, Cape Kennedy.
Future astronauts will be watching the rendezvous test between the two Apollo 9 spacecraft with more than just professional interest. Nothing during astronauts McDivitt, Scott, and Swigert's 10 days in space will be more important to the men who will land on the moon than the Apollo 9 rendezvous. It will be the first time a crew of American astronauts have switched spaceships in orbit and separated by a distance of 100 miles. The test will be a simulation of the lunar module's ability to leave the Apollo mothership and land on the surface of the moon, then launch itself from the lunar surface for a rendezvous and docking again with the Apollo in orbit 70 miles above the moon's landscape. Apollo 9 will be the first manned test of the ship built to serve as the lunar taxi. And command pilot James McDivitt and lunar module pilot Russell Swigert plan to put the module, called LEM for short, through its maiden trial run. Astronaut David Scott will remain in the Apollo command module, and in case of trouble, he hopes to be able to fly to the rescue of the stranded moon landing craft. He'll have to be in position to pick up his two cohorts if they are to get back to Earth, because only the Apollo command module has the heat shield needed to return the astronauts safely through the firewall generated by Earth's atmosphere on re-entry. The lunar module was built to operate in space and on the moon where there is no atmosphere. It would burn to a cinder trying to return to Earth. J. Barbary, NBC News, reporting for Monitor from Cape Kennedy.
Follow the flight of Apollo 9 on NBC Radio and Television from launch to splash. Not saying splash down anymore. If you do, I figure you should say launch up. There isn't any down or up. There's just out and back, that's all. New by Anthony Newley, I'm All I Need.
A man is alone from the day he's born to the dawn of his last goodbye. And if anyone tells you anything else, he's selling you the same old lie. I need no God, I believe no dreams, and it seems that I've always known that we laugh and cry, that we hope and sigh, that we live and we die alone. I'm all I need. If I've got me, I've got rainbows. If I've got me, just to see how the rain goes away. 'Cause I got somebody who cares, someone who shares my company. Dump anything but pity on my plate. I'm standing straight now.
Somebody just explains. The Plymouth ads are, you know, straight. Their Fury has a lot of things the other low-priced cars don't have, so they come right out and say it. The biggest trunk, biggest brakes, biggest back seat, that sort of thing. Then they put on torsion bars? Anyway, the other guys don't have them, and you get really good handling. I don't know. I get tired of all the frilly, gimmicky sort of talk. Plymouth tells it like it is. And that's the way it should be.
The straight story. Nice to hear when you're shopping for a car. Find out for yourself during your Plymouth dealer's Great Plymouth Sale. They tell it like it is.
Thank you.
Richard's Flugel Nights with one of those songs. Now here's Joe Garagiola for Monitor Sports, brought to you by Associates Finance Company. And here's Joe.
You know, the old income tax deadline is getting closer every day. I hate to bring that up. I didn't mean to scare you now, but I do want you to know that if you need money for taxes, or for any good reason, the people to see are the folks at Associates Finance. They're nice people with money to loan you. And chances are, they can provide the cash you need to solve your financial problems. So if you need money to pay off your back bills, or for medical, or dental expenses, for auto repairs, or for any good purpose, see the folks at Associates Finance. They'll work quickly and efficiently to get you the money you need, when you need it, without any extra red tape or bother. There's probably an Associates Finance office near you right now. It's listed in the yellow pages. Associates. Nice people with money to loan you. She's small, attractive, and soft-spoken. Her name, Barbara Jo Rubin. Her occupation, she's a jockey. She's not only ridden professionally against men riders, but last weekend at Charlestown Racetrack, she won. The other day, I asked her if she always wanted to be a jockey.
Yes, I think so, because I've always been around horses, and I've always enjoyed riding, and I remember when I was about 8, I used to race the horses in the fields.
Was there a movie or anything that got you started on this? Or?
Yes, National Velvet. I think every girl sort of gets a little wish when she sees that movie that someday she could try that.
How different is it for you now in your relationship with the male jockeys that you've won? You've really beaten them at their own game now.
Well, I feel just like any other apprentice rider. I feel that I'll go on riding and that I feel qualified.
You haven't had any kind of comments from the other jockeys?
Well, I had a few comments down at Tropical when I tried to ride down there. A couple jockeys came up and told me that if I got in their way, they'd put me over the rail. And a couple jockeys, after I did ride my race here at Charlestown, said that I had a good seat on a horse. They told me that they don't think any other jockey could have done any better on the horse that I had ridden that night.
What kind of effect does a conversation with a jockey have on you when they talk about putting you over the rail?
Well, it doesn't really bother me any. I mean, if you have any fears, I don't think you should go into this.
Do they do that to young male apprentice jockeys, too, or you think just because you were a young lady?
I think they were trying to scare me, in a way. But then there are a lot of... It's hard to have too much rough riding now with all the film patrols. But they were mainly trying to scare the girls out of it.
What about the rock incident that you were involved in at Tropical? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, it was about one race after I was boycotted. We were just sitting in the trailer there, and a rock came through the window. And before that, I wasn't angry with the jocks for boycotting. I mean, that was their privilege. I mean, if they wanted to, they could. But I was greatly disappointed in the jocks when they did throw the rock through the window. We never found out who it was.
But it was a bit of a disappointment.
Yes, it was.
What about charges now, Barbara Jo, where they say that the girl jockeys, they'll lose momentum and fade away like a hula hoop, that it's all a fad?
I don't think that's so, because if a girl's going into this, she's going into it to be a race rider, and she'll plan to make that her livelihood, and she'll stick with it until she retires.
Later today on Monitor, more from Miss Barbara Jo Rubin, Lady Jockey. This is Joe Garagiola for Monitor Sports.
Promised I'd always be true. Ay, muchachita. quiero tanto. Y espero que nunca te alejes de mí. Recuerdo la noche que te conocí, la noche que me enamoré. Te tuve en mis brazos por primera vez y así te entregué mi querer. Ay, muchachita,
and Renee with Muchachita, Little Girl. All this weekend, Monitor's finding out what the man in the street thinks about baseball. Well, what about the man in the studio? Well, I'll tell you what I think about baseball. Just a minute. Hold the music. I'm going to tell you what I think about baseball. If you read the script, it says, Mr. Morgan will now talk about baseball. Got to follow that stuff. Now I forget what I think about baseball. Not much. I was sorry that, what's his name quit? 37 years old. Been with the Yankees 18 years. Mantle. But I guess what I really feel like you is I'm tired of seeing little businessmen at the plate. I wish they'd bring back baseball. Something there to remind me. Morgan, reminding you news is next, then more Monitor.
I'm asking your help in a campaign to rid New York of a major health hazard, rats. Last year, more than 400 rat bites, mostly to children, were reported to the health department. Not reported are the countless thousands of persons terrified by rats in their homes, backyards, stairs, and hallways. The rat not only bites and frightens, he carries and spreads diseases. Rats thrive on garbage. Take away his food, he'll die. It's as simple as that. No garbage, no rats. A rat will do anything to get at food. Climb a 40-foot wall, swim the East River, and gnaw through cement. One thing a rat can't gnaw through is a tightly covered garbage can. That's why the health department is urging each of you to place your garbage where rats can't get at it. In a garbage can, with the lid on tight, and starve a rat today.
Happiness is The Charlie Brown Show. Weekdays, 3 to 7 p.m. on WNBC, Radio 660, New York.